Thank you so much, Tyler. Great job. Great start for him, isn't it? He's got the heart. We appreciate you. Really do. The fan section, they're going to sell Tyler shirts after the service. I'm all over this. This is great. Okay. I love Tyler. Okay, that's great. Listen, a few things just for you to know. First of all, the offering box is over here. We really appreciate you putting your offerings as unto God in that box. That's why you didn't have an offering this morning. There is an offering. It's right there in that box. Please give as give unto the Lord. Listen carefully. Tonight, youth and your parents, tonight at 6 o'clock, meet back here with Matt and Jamie Irvin as we start to a new season of youth ministry here at the church as he's come on to be our youth pastor. Really appreciate that. That's at 6. That's for parents. That's for youth. And listen, if you're bored tonight and nothing to do, want to come by and you're part of the church, come on by anyway and hear what's going on with youth. That'll be really great. Women's ministry, this Friday at 10 o'clock. This Friday at 10 o'clock is a fellowship time and a brunch, which is really cool. And a week later, regular study is going to start at 10 o'clock. It says you're welcome to the brunch, and if you do not plan on attending the study. And that, guys, is probably most of us. So if you're looking for a brunch on Friday, I think we just got invited and you didn't realize that. See us Friday morning at 10 o'clock. You notice these blue cards are available in different places. These are pastor's prayer partner cards. That's a mouthful to say, isn't it? Pastor's prayer partner cards. And what we're asking you to do, if you would consider this, if you'd put your name, sign your name to this, indicating that you will indeed on Saturday and Sunday morning as you come to church, you'll be praying for the pastor. Well, he needs that. And everybody else who's a worship leading component on Sunday morning, as we seek to take this before the throne of God and glorify Him. If you would sign that up, and you can put that in the offering box as well. Listen, it would be wrong on my part if I didn't say a few things right now that were really near and dear to me. And that is this. We've got a church nucleus of people who are really stuck in the Scripture, which is tremendous. Our students of the Word seek to live that way. And we've got a nucleus of the people here who really do pray for the efforts of Candlewood. Looking at this next year coming up, you're going to hear stuff over the next few weeks, the next month or so. You go, my goodness, stuff's really happening. Yes, it is. And then the other thing I think we'd be remiss if we didn't do this morning is to acknowledge the fact that this morning is the first morning of Tyler Dusek leading worship for us, which we really appreciate that. And then at the same time, it's the first day that Matt Irvin's going to be introduced. So I'm going to have those two guys come forward. Matt, you can bring your wife as well. Tyler, you can bring yours in the future next. Okay, Tyler, if you come up here, please, I would appreciate it. That was wrong in so many ways. Okay, come on up over here and stand in front of the folks. I appreciate that, you guys. It would be wrong if we just didn't say that we're going to commit to pray for them on a regular basis, which I think is very important. It would be wrong if we let them start today without the kind of prayer you've probably been offering privately. But now I think we need to offer publicly. And so Jamie and Matt, if you don't know these people, you need to get to know these folks. They're going to do an awful lot of stuff behind the scenes with your youth. There's quite a lot of plans. Just kind of exciting to see a plan come together for the training of our youth for the purpose of walking with Christ, doing the ministry, and sharing Christ. Kind of fun. Come out tonight and hear stuff about that at 6. Tyler's more on the mark every week publicly. If he misses a note, you'll see it and hear it, right? If it's too loud, it's too loud. If it's too soft, you'll have it too soft. There's always that stuff with worship. But he truly comes with a genuine heart to lead people before the throne of grace, realizing it's not about him. And it is about the Lord and the glory of God. And that is truly his attitude. And I appreciate him both for that. Would you do this with me? Would you bow in prayer right now at this time? I take the first 30 seconds to a minute here. Could you please pray quietly, silently in your heart? Could you personally commit these people by name? Matt, Jamie, Tyler, could you commit them by name to the Lord right now for what he's got for them as they take on different leadership components within the church? Would you pray that way? And then I'll lead us. And now, Father, we, your body, have declared and given over to you, Tyler, Matt, Jamie. We've given them to you for your service, for your exclusive service. Father, I pray for them right now, that you continue to strengthen them in their walk in Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd keep them in your word. Father, I pray that you keep them from sin. And Father, when temptation comes, which it does, I pray that they'd be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one, Father, who seeks to take them down. Father, I pray that they'd live for you like never before. And in so doing, bring glory to you. And in so doing, lead in the areas of youth and worship. And Father, take us to your throne on a regular basis. Cause us to think about you on a regular basis, causing us to grow. Father, I now, in the name of Jesus Christ, do commit these folks to you for your use. I consecrate them to you, Father. And I do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's officially welcome these guys on their first day. Thank you, folks.
I would go.
I appreciate it. Okay. See you guys later. Great stuff. God provides. We had a real big hole develop, and then God provides in just a really neat way. You ought to be just saying, God, thank you. That's just tremendous stuff. You haven't looked at it. I'm still looking at you as an outsider. It's only like I've been here a couple of days. And as I look out from the outside, the stuff I say behind your back, you want to hear any of this or not? Okay. No? Okay, well, here it is anyway. The stuff I say behind your back, which I've said before, is this, very simply, is that I have never, I'm thinking of the places I've been around the country, helping do this or consulting or whatever, I've never been with a concentrated group of people who are in the Scripture and seeking to walk with Christ. God did not by accident put this group together. This has been put together sovereignly by God to do something. Something really cool. I'm not saying we're going to be the church of 5,000. We don't want that. If we were to be that big, we would have given birth to 100 churches before then. But the truth of the matter is there's a nucleus of people here who are walking with Christ, who pray and are looking for God to do something. This next 6 months in particular, and then into the year, are going to be incredibly exciting as we unveil some stuff to you that's going to just be fun. Ministry should be fun. Nobody says that. That's the title of my next book. Okay, here we go. So I'm getting ready. I look at this sermon that I'm still, by the way, I'm in Philippians. Hard to believe. I haven't been in Philippians in how long? Like a month. No, like a month. It's been a long time. Christmas and those things get in the way of what we were doing. We're covering Philippians verse by verse. And when I got to Philippians chapter 2, way back before Christmas, I realized that I wanted to stay in it for a while. So guess what? We were in it before, and we're going to stay in it for a while. You might see February come, and we're still in Philippians chapter 2, especially these same verses. And I realized that the Scripture says this, that my attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, which is great. And this morning, we're talking about the attitude of humility by Jesus Christ. And so I went and did a little background research on this. And I know all the definitions for humility and this and that, et cetera. We know what that's all about. But I saw some really neat stuff that I thought was funny. So I thought I'd share that this morning, all right? Remember Ted Turner, TBS, Ted Turner of years ago? He was quoted as saying this, that if I was humble, then I would be perfect. You know anything about the character, you'll know it's really good. Listen to this, another phrase I saw. The proud man can learn humility, but once he does, he will be proud of it. Okay? Frank Lloyd Wright, who's probably like one of the saints in your life, Steve. you'll get that later. Okay. Frank Lloyd Wright, toward the end of his life, in fact, just before he died, had received a lot of acclaim, accolade, trophies, etc., for the design and architecture work that he had done, which today still stands out and is quite amazing in a lot of ways. And he said this, I feel coming on a strange disease, humility. Something he'd learned throughout his life. Somebody wrote this. This is probably like something I would write. Humility is like underwear. Essential, but indecent if it shows. That was obviously written 20 years ago. Okay. Where I look today, we'll be somewhere and I'll say to my wife, did they look at themselves in the mirror before they put that on? Or if they're on TV being interviewed, even a newscaster, I'll say, didn't they know they were going to be on TV today? Because things have changed. Scripture says, you got your Bible, Philippians chapter 2. You'll see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And that attitude exactly is one of humility. So to refresh us, I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to, in fact, I'm going to read two sets of scriptures this morning. I'm going to read this one from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. You want to stand with me? Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Let's do this together. Here we go. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you're struggling with time in the Scripture, and if you want to start memorizing something that is flat out dynamic and will carry you the rest of your life, this is one of those Scriptures. Let's pray. Our Father, once again, we're reminded just in part as to what Jesus Christ did, about his attitude and then his absolute actions, and we're blown away. We worship you. We should stop the service now and sing for the next half hour and just praise your name and worship you and highlight you for the fact that this took place for us and we're so undeserving. Father, I pray this morning that you'd open our eyes to your word. Challenge us where necessary. Might your spirit do the speaking and not me, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to hear something else. I don't know, many of you look at other translations. I got a paraphrase here from the Message. I was going to read that for you because this is so different, and I want you to hear this, and here it is. Listen carefully. If you've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that. A crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anything or anyone ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. You got your notes out? We're going to dive into this. The best way to describe the attitude of Jesus Christ seems to be humility. It seems that Christ is deserving of so much more. He was God. Yet he came to the earth to rescue us from our punishment of sin. And it took his humility to make that happen. So, practically, as I read through this scripture, I'm being challenged to have the same attitude as Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this to you. There are some things in my life I can just think, and lo and behold, soon enough, I start to do. This isn't one of them. It is not normal. It is not natural to be humble, is it? I make one little stupid shot on a tennis court, and I think to myself, who cares and who sees it except the other guy just can't get to the ball. And what do I think? Yeah. Really? What does that matter? I do something at work really well, and I turn around and go, yeah. And after a while, that yeah turns into a yeah, me. Well, now I'm over-dramatizing, but you get the idea. in every single area, from what we drive to where we live to what we wear to what we look like to how our hair is to if our beard is working out or not. You get the idea. To whether a child is working out, to whether a grandparent is working out, to whether they care for a parent. You just go through every facet of our lives. And almost everywhere I look, it's hard to be humble because somebody along the way tells me, you're wonderful. It's a challenge for us today to be truly humble. And not just the humility that walks around like this. Oh, no, it's me. I'm such a waste. I am just dreadful. That's not it. That's a whole other problem. You need to go see a counselor for that, all right? This is truly having the proper perspective of yourself in light of Jesus Christ. It is mimicking Jesus Christ and the attitude he had. And listen to what the attitude is. The attitude that took him from all in heaven, all invested there, all the attention on him, down to us. Whatever that attitude was, called humility, is what we're called to have. It's the missing ingredient in our culture. It's the missing ingredient in our churches. And it's the missing ingredient in the individuals in the churches. All right, so now we've got your attention a little bit. Let's look at some of these, okay? There's several of them I've got on your notes. How do we do this? How do I develop this attitude? I think this scripture lays some things out. The first one is this. You got to go back to verses 3 and 4. Listen to it very carefully. And it gives us our first clue. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. The first point I wanted to challenge us this morning is this, that I need to consider others better than yourself. That word consider means this, to think, to perceive, to understand, to accept, to grasp in the mind. It actually means this, to get it. You ever been with somebody that gets it? They just get it. Have you ever said that about somebody? They just get it. And those are the people you seek to be with. Well, in this case, you just get that you need to treat others better than yourselves. Now, listen. Everything I turn on and everything I read, from my computer to the stuff on the television, the things I read, the things I hear, this culture continually tells me this, that I deserve to be what? Happy. I deserve to be happy. In fact, I hear them teach this. Everybody deserves to be happy. Have you heard this? Of course, everybody has. Fact of the matter is this. This culture also teaches that the more stuff I can get, the happier I will be. And I want to be happy. Do you want to be happy? Yes, you do. I want to be happy. And the culture teaches me that if you want to be happy, now, if you watch the beer commercials during the football games today, if you want to have the best-looking friends and be the happiest, you've got to hold up a certain bottle of a certain kind of beer. And everybody's together, and it's one of them. They don't show you people driving home all over the roads in the snow and flipping cars and hitting people. They don't show you any of that. They just show you people drinking massive amounts of alcohol while cheering the game. And you sit there and go like this, they look happy, I want to be like them. I'm going out and getting that beer. That's the beer company hopes you make that connection and hopes you buy a lot of their beer. Get it? Watch this. The culture teaches that for me to be happy, I have to get stuff. And if I want to be happier, I want to be happier, then I have to get more stuff. In fact, the more stuff I have, the happier I will be. And how many people have you read in the paper about that killed themselves, who amassed large fortunes, amassed large amounts in warehouses full of stuff? They had the tons of stuff, and what happens? They write in their suicide letter that even though they looked on the outside that they were happy, in the inside they were not, and they felt that life was a loss, and bang. You've seen those stories. I've seen those stories. Happiness does not come about by stuff. In fact, God's word goes counter to that, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed when the culture teaches something, God's word is typically teaching something from the other side, God's truth, and they don't often mesh with each other. God's word says this, if you want to be great, then you have to be a servant. If you want to be great, then you have to be last. If you want to get everything you want, all the stuff you could ever handle, then you must be willing to give away everything you have. No, I don't like that. I like the message better that we have. Stuff makes you happy. Because this is tough. I don't want to give my stuff away. I don't want to be a servant. You serve me. I'm not serving you. I'm a somebody. My family has royal blood many generations ago in them. I'm not done. And I've got some of that royal blood in me. I am close to the monarch. You will honor me for that. Now, you giggle if you know me and my heritage. I'm as much a mutt that's ever been born on the streets, okay? That's my heritage. But, you know, the people feel that because of the way and who they were born to and et cetera, that there is somebody, and you'll honor me. Oh, no, I went to this college, and I went to this grad school, and I've got doctor in front of my name, PhD at the end of my name, and a few in the middle I can't even pronounce, all right? I got awesome. Honor me! I'm a somebody. See, everything in a culture goes down that road. But for a believer, and they're on your notes, there's three things I left empty there I want you to write in, okay? Genuine humility is required. Apparently, for the believer to be effective, for the follower of Christ to be dynamic, for the follower of Christ to do what he has to do and she has to do, then humility is required. And I came up with three observations I just want you to write down in the blanks there. The first one is this. If I'm going to have that genuine humility, and I'm going to consider others better than myself, then I'm going to have to stop looking to my own ambitions, desires, position, wants, possessions. You get the idea. I'm going to have to stop, here's another good word, focusing on the things that I think will make me great. And maybe not even think of myself as great. So I'm going to stop looking at my own ambitions, desires, positions, my wants, possessions, etc. You get the idea. And the second part is number two is this. I think if you're going to have this considering others better than yourself and have this genuine humility, I think I'm going to have to stop being concerned about my being neglected. They didn't notice me. Me being bypassed. Me being ignored. Me being recognized. Me being honored. It's not about me. That's the number two on that list. You're going to have to really know yourself, be honest with yourself. And you're going to have to honestly say to you, at this point in your life, at the age I'm at the life station I'm at, where my family's at, and what's going on right now, what am I really aiming at and goaling for? What is the eventual end? I know the end is me passing away. Have you figured that one out yet? Are you believing the myth of the culture that if you live the right way, you'll live forever? Seems to come across that way. Nobody ever says this. Hey, let me give you something here. In 100 years, we're all going to be dead. You're going to come to a church that teaches that kind of stuff? Is that encouraging? And the truth of the matter is, for everybody else, mostly in here, you're going to be dead in less than 100 years. I'm not done. I got more. Okay? Some of us aren't going to make it through this next year. Some of us aren't going to make it to tax day this year. Oh, that's close, isn't it? Forget, I don't like that one. Let's not do that one. July 4th. You're not See, I think I know. I have fellowshiped and I have talked to people at the door of a church, huggy, huggy, kiss, kiss, friends, friends, and they go out in their car and they drive away and I don't see them again because something happens out there. We all know folks like that. It's incredible how life can snuff you out in just a heartbeat. Truth of the matter is this. In the time I've got left, what am I goaling for? What is the effect I want to have? Who do I want to touch? What do I want to accomplish? And if my life were to stop right now, what would people say about me and remember me by? Or if I could change that, what do I need to change that so people will know, gee, had quite an effect for Christ. Look what he did. He realized it wasn't about church and a building. It was about the body of Christ and fellow believers and sharing Christ. He understood that. He understood that helping people develop in Christ, whether it gets recognized at all or gets a plaque or not, he understood that meeting with that person to share Scripture with them was the highest thing they could do. He understood that praying for that person was the highest thing he could do. He understood that serving that person, though nobody saw him, and he snuck over and helped out that family. Are you getting the idea? If you have this genuine humility, you can truly serve. Let me give you the third one on that list, okay? In order for me to consider others better than myself, I'm going to have courage. My goodness, this is what I don't want to hear. Courage to admit my natural tendencies to be self-centered. Courage to admit the fact I like myself. Okay, let's have a little exercise here. And don't be ashamed to look at me as I do this. I want you to look at my face. Look at my face. I know some of you already are blind. You're like, I can't. Look at my face. Do you know that there are mornings in my life that I go in front of a mirror? Hold on. This is the honest truth, okay? I get in front of that mirror and I look in the mirror. You do this too. But you know what? Sometimes I look in the mirror and I go like this. You look good. You look really good. I don't know what it was, the extra sleep last night. I don't know what you ate yesterday, but you just look good. You look really good. Now, I don't do that. But people do. Maybe you do. I do the opposite. I get in the mirror in the morning and I go, who in the world is that? That's not what I look like. Like the mirror is lying to me, okay? That's not what I look like. I look different than that. How come I look like that? Because you really look like that. I've got to have the courage to look at myself and go like this. When I go to dry my hair in the morning, it takes about 8 to 10 seconds of the blow dryer on. I've got to have the courage to admit that. It's embarrassing to me. My wife will be two rooms away and she'll hear me every single morning like this. Well, that should have taken longer. And it doesn't. I know. It's embarrassing, isn't it? I've got to have courage. And the courage is this. To look in the mirror and see my natural tendencies to be self-centered. And the fact that I admire myself many times, even in the context of the church body, I think that I'm a somebody and I look good. And it should never be about that. This whole focal point of genuine ministry is the fact that it's aimed at others. It's aimed at their needs. It's aimed at their hurts. It's a vital component to us functioning like a body. You say you want to grow. You say you want to have effect. We've had people visiting and sticking this. That's really great. But you say you want to do more of that. What's going to come on the basis of us putting away our natural tendencies and actually looking at other people who come in as the focal point and not ourselves. You know what it might take on? Just this. Now watch, nobody will leave this morning because I said this. It may be when we sing the last song this morning and Tyler says amen and you're dismissed. It may be that instead of you going like this, I got to run. You know, this church is great. They get out early enough to go to a restaurant before anybody gets there. Got to beat those Baptists. And I'm sorry I said that. That was wrong. But I'm going to run out of here because I can get the best seat that I've always wanted at this restaurant. I love the way this church ends the way they do. I'm out of here. It may be that this morning you're like this, boom, not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to notice that I saw somebody this morning. They look like they need a little encouraging. Look like maybe they need me to mess with them for a little bit. Talk with them, okay? You don't say mess with, talk with. Maybe they need a touch from me. Maybe I need to just have the courage to walk up to somebody and say, hey, I noticed this and this about you. Can I pray for you this week in a different way? Maybe I need to grab somebody and take them aside and pray for them right here before they leave because I just feel a burden for them. Maybe I just need to come up and give them a hug because you just sense that they need a hug. There you go. Once you get like this and the focus turns to others out of humility and you can consider others better than yourself, then it's time for real ministry and real relationship stuff to take place. Let's move on quick here to number two. These go by pretty quick. In verses 5 and 6, you'll see what Paul writes. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. Second point is this. You want to be challenged? Be unconcerned about your personal position. Nobody will ever give up so much or be made as uncomfortable as Jesus Christ from where he was to come to earth as a man. All right, let's do this. I am one for seeing things. I'm a visual kind of person. Watch this, all right? Have you ever noticed that I'll use my hands and my fingers to go, hey, you might only have this much time left. That's a famous one. I've been doing that for years, and I don't know why. Okay, you don't know. You've heard this before? You've heard me do this, okay? Or other times, I'll be with my grandkids, and I'll go like this. Does grandpa just did this with the oldest one? I'm going to hate the fact they're getting older because I think you have to stop doing this when they get to be like 25 or so. But when they're little, they buy everything grandpa says. That's what's so cool about this, all right? They think grandpa's 6'4". This is tremendous. Okay, here it is. Grandpa loves you this much. Is that true? No, grandpa, that's not true. Okay, well, grandpa loves you this much. Is that true? Again, giving the graphics of the hands, okay. No, Grandpa, that's not right. I play this little game with the older one, okay? Younger one's not caught on yet. Does Grandpa love you this much? No, and then what I have to do is I have to reach as far as I can and go like this. Bella, Grandpa loves you this much. And that's what she wants to see. The most biggest thing possible. Grandpa loves you this much. And once we get there, she goes like this. Yeah! And boom, it's hug time. You get the idea? Am I the only one who does these things? Don't say yes. Okay, good. let's keep in the same genre of that, okay, that thinking, okay? Jesus was in heaven. Can you get the idea with me? Jesus was in heaven for eternity with, we don't know, let's just say, billions of created beings, different classes of angels, et cetera, et cetera. We can't even imagine. And all of them are focusing on him, and they are bowing before him. Read Revelation. You read some of your Old Testament, you see what was going on in the throne room of heaven. Holy, holy, holy. You see all these created beings who are much smarter than us in a lot of ways are all worshiping Jesus. And then there's the whole creation that's been created, which we haven't discovered a percentage of yet. And all of creation is at his feet. He owns all this because he made it. Jesus is the God of the universe. Don't tell me that he was God inside and God in his mind. He had all the attributes of God. He had the names of God. He was God. Fully God. And God can do this. Accepting the worship of everybody. And it was continual. Some beings were created just for the purpose of 24/7 of bringing him worship, and he accepts it. He wants to be told he's great and he's good. All right. That's where Jesus is. Jesus now comes down to this little puny planet named Earth, and he comes all the way down. We don't know where he's at, but he comes all the way down from that lofty position down to Earth, where I am. Where it gets cold and it gets hot and people are sick and people are dying and it's dusty and it's dirty and they don't all acknowledge him. And he comes here to be born a little baby, put in a food trough, which is what the manger was, where they fed the goats and the cows. He gets laid on the straw there. Really? All right, let's do it. Let's do it. We're back to the illustration, okay? Jesus came this far for me? No, Mike, that's not even right, okay? Jesus came this far for me, coming from heaven to me? Was it that far of a trip? Now, Mike goes out as far as he can and goes like this. And my grandkids buy this, okay? Did Jesus come this far from there to me? The answer is no. The answer is astronomical. I don't know how I could picture it. I don't know how big your arms would have to be. I don't know how much of a gap you need to see. But the gap is outrageous because he came from that all the way down to human existence where during the time he was in the earth, as a baby, contained in that baby, laying a lot of that stuff aside in the worship and the glory, and now being beaten, now being punched. Read your scripture. They spit on him. The God of the universe accepting all that worship and etc., they spit in his face. Now, how far did he move from that place of constant worship, praise, and power, and glory, and stuff that means to be God? How far did he move to come to us? Colossians 1:15 says this. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And it further goes on to say that he was the creator of all and holds all things together. Now imagine if Jesus Christ is in heaven and the day is coming close to him to come down to this earth as a baby and he sits there and you know he's just got a lot of time on his hands and he starts to think stuff out. Maybe like me, he gets a whiteboard on the wall and starts writing up the pros and the cons of coming here to earth and he's figuring it out and he finally says this, you know what? I've been thinking about it. I have weighed out the facts on that whole wall here in heaven and you know what I've come up with? I've come up with it's just not worth it. For me to go from there way down to there, and I'm not gonna do it. That's ludicrous, but where does that leave me? I mean, there is no plan B. There's no other method for me to get to heaven except salvation through Jesus Christ. What do I do now? I'm toast. Obviously, Jesus didn't do that. Listen, let me say this to you on the side, and I'm gonna move through here. There's a lot of churches around our country and our town that aren't doing very well. Did you know that? Did you know that they say over 100 churches a day, you understand all the small churches out there and this and that, close in the United States and Canada a day. You imagine that? Startups that close. Startups that they do well and they close. You know what? The couple that I've researched that I happened to be near when they went down and got to know them, I think typically at the heart of a church like this is a church that does not seek to serve in humility. They were more concerned about their personal position and their impact in the community and how great they were. And a lot of people who initially came out with the church counted the cost and said this, don't want to do that. It's too far a gap for me to go from here than to talk to those people or from here to be bothered with those people or from here to give to that mission. Or you get the idea. And hence the members did not and were not involved with others instead of serving Jesus Christ. I think that's interesting. Let me look at the third point with you in verse 7, okay? Verse 7 says this, that Jesus made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Your third point is this, and third challenge is this, that you need to make yourself a servant. The distance is unbelievable for Christ to come, and he came here to serve. The scripture says this also. You saw it in this passage. He made himself nothing. He emptied himself. And you might say this, you know what, Mike? I'm really not a servant. I like to be served. That's good. We all do. But I'm really not a servant. And you know what my response is? I've had people tell me that over the years. Mike, I really think I'd like to be a servant, but I've thought about it, and I'm really not one. And I say this, good. Good. Because you know what? None of us by nature are really servants. And it's great that you can identify that. And now you know what that means? You need to just go and do it. You need to just go start. You're not above moving a chair. You're not above moving a table. You're not above looking at somebody here who's struggling and saying, I'm going to get involved in their life. You're not above. You're not above. You're not above. Christ emptied himself of certain rights as God. And the right to appear in heaven and receive all the glory and worship through the God of the universe was definitely on the top of the list. But you know what? Jesus, this is interesting. Right before he died, John 17:5, write this down. John 17:5. Right before Jesus died, he was praying and he said this, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you, look at this, before the world began. Going back to the time of way, 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 way back. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. The fact of the matter is, if you're struggling to be a servant, do like Jesus and just be a servant. Last point, here is fourth point on your notes. It's in verse number 8. Scripture says this, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the fourth point I have here is this, obey even when it's not convenient. Key question I think this morning is this, how far does my obedience go? Okay, everybody stop taking notes. Look up here, but you're going to talk to yourself in your mind. You're going to answer these questions. Because this is telling stuff. Here it is. Answer these questions. Am I, as a follower of Christ, willing to obey the Word of God completely? I'm not going to blow through this. Am I willing to obey the Word of God completely? Answer that in your mind, yes or no. Don't say sometimes. Sometimes it's still a no. Am I willing to, and am I obeying the Word of God completely? Am I willing to obey the Word of God completely? Answer the question. Yes? No? Used to? Planning on it? Okay, next question. Am I willing to obey the Word of God if it means I lose? I live in this country where they teach me I win all the time. I'm a winner, winner, right? I got to win at everything. My yard's got to look good. My bushes look good. I got to win. Am I willing to obey the Word of God if it means I lose? Position. Stuff, possessions, those type things. Am I willing to obey the Word of God to that end, that it might mean that I lose as this world looks at me? Let me go on here. Am I willing to obey the Word of God if it means that I might be misperceived or misunderstood? People have a different impression of me. Am I willing to obey the Word of God if it means I may be misperceived or misunderstood? A lot of times you share Christ, there's a price to be paid. Some people won't bother with you much anymore. Last question here. Am I willing to obey the Word of God even if I do not like what it's telling me? I like that. Everybody, I hear people all the time say, I can't read the Scripture. It's hard to understand. I say, really? Do you read it? No, because it's hard to understand. I say, well, let's start reading it because you're going to see it has a lot of application to you and it's going to be telling you different things you need to rearrange or affirm things you're doing well. It works both ways. Am I willing to obey the Word of God even if I do not like what it's telling me to do? Listen carefully. We as a church either honor the Word of God and we seek to obey it even though at times we fail and we seek to obey it, or we don't. And maybe even have the courage to say this, the Scripture does not rule my life and my situation that I'm in. And I know that and I got to fix it. Listen, for perspective, how inconvenient was Christ's obedience? 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says here that God made him who had no sin to become sin for us. Jesus, that perfect God, became sin for us, obviously on the cross. And when you think about it, Christ humbled himself before God to be obedient to God, even to the point of death. He even humbled himself enough to allow these guys, these soldiers, to grab him and take him and hold him down and crucify him. That was all him being humble. Wow. You'll notice in a couple weeks we get to verses 12 and 13. I mean a couple weeks or more. It tells you to work hard on your salvation. This is why it's hard to have humility. This is why it's hard to have a relationship with Christ. This is why it's hard to be like Christ, because it doesn't come naturally. Yet we're called to be like him, and it all starts with an attitude of humility. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? Let me close our time here. We really do at Candlewood want to become known as a humble church body. And in order to do that, we need to be made up of individuals who are humble followers of Christ, uncompromising humble followers of Christ. Could that be said about you right now? No matter what titles you've got, no matter what position you've come to or money you've come to, or what you do well or don't do well, can it be said of you that you're that humble follower of Christ with your attention focused on him? This week, as you go from here, as you're thinking with me now as I speak, I know you want to be effective for Christ in the situations he's placed you in. But analyze and look at your situation carefully and ask yourself, am I doing this serving and representing with the humility that comes from Jesus Christ? Our Father, I thank you for this body, and once again I consecrate her unto you, for you to do your will and your good pleasure. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.